Hi, friends, and welcome to the Experience Our Industry podcast. I am Dr. Brian Greenwood, and I am super excited to be here today with Tiffany Mazuka. How are you, Tiffany?
Hey, Dr. Greenwood. Good. Doing good. So excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited to see you. And I know that you've got to be excited there in Chicago, Illinois, coming out of the cold, hard winter. I guess is it starting to warm up there or what?
Oh, yeah. Definitely excited for spring to roll in. Kind of warming up a little bit, but for a California girl, not too much. It's still it's still pretty chilly. So
I'm thinking of my glory day. Yeah, you never get used to that, do you?
Never get used to that. But I'm going to just bundle up the more layers and just take a break and pop into some stores when you need to.
There you go. I love it. Well, Tiffany is a 2018 graduate of our program who currently serves as a senior recruiter for a company that I know a lot of you have heard of, a GoFundMe. So we're going to get a chance to talk all about that. Tiffany, I'm so excited to talk to you because we have so many alumni who have just such successful careers and employee experiences and recruiting. And so I'm excited to talk to you about that and what that's been like for you. But let's go back in time first and get to know you a little bit better. Tell us where you grew up.
Perfect. I grew up in Santa Clarita, California, which is like 2.5-3 hours south of SLO, near a little amusement park near Magic Mountain, if you've ever heard of it.
Of course. Of course. Were you a roller coaster gal growing up or what?
Oh, yeah. Frequent season ticket holder. My friends and I, there was a time where we had ridden every single roller coaster they offered. So
yeah,
it was definitely a fun place to grow up.
I bet it was. That's really fun. What about your parents? What did your parents do growing up?
Gosh, my parents growing up. So they grew up in like Huntington Beach, Orange County. My dad did, he still does construction sales. So he's been like heavy equipment construction industry. And my mom has been in corporate sales herself. She spent a lot of her career with Energizer and now she's working at a janitorial supply company. But both of them actually had careers in sales when I was growing up.
Nice. I love that. And I realized that I worded that really awkwardly. You would think after 170 different podcasts that I would be able to word it correctly, but I appreciate you you catching me there. What about siblings? What any brothers and sisters?
Mm-hmm. I do. I have one older sister. She is the best. Her name's Brady.
Yeah. Where's Brady now? Where's Brady?
Brandy and my parents all live in Idaho near Boise now. So none of our family's based in California anymore. The pandemic just shook us up and said, let's try new places. So they're all in Idaho now.
Wow. Y'all are all in colder places. So y'all identify with each other now. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
That's really cool. Well, tell me what young Tiffany was into. What was your jam?
What was young Tiffany into growing up? Gosh, young Tiffany, I was a competitive dancer growing up. So
where are you?
Eat, sleep, breathe, dance was there at the studio 6 days a week. And that was my everything, honestly, all the way through high school. It was my passion and everything. Yeah, it was great.
Nice. Now, what was your specialty? What would you say you were best at in the dance world?
Oh, gosh, best at. Tough to say now, especially watching dancers now. They're so above the level we were back in the day, but you know, a lyrical contemporary type of competitive routine. So it was always a good time.
Okay. So no modern dance. I learned modern dance.
Similar.
You did so you did a little modern dance. Like I went to a place called Governor's School, which in North Carolina, that was like a summer enrichment program, and you kind of had to apply and anyway I did that, like, I think it was my sophomore or junior year summer, and I got to do modern dance, and I'd never done modern dance, and that's like where you can basically do anything,
do whatever,
right? Whatever, like brush your teeth or whatever, right? And
Absolutely.
Yeah, we were pretty bad at it, but I
highly doubt that.
I was pretty bad at it, but I actually got to do you've heard of New Kids on the Block?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, the boy one of the original boy bands. In the boy band era, yeah, we kind of did like a mock concert where we were lip syncing, and so that was a lot of fun. That's where I did
my only
pop dancing, you could say. But so let's.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love to see a video of that.
I'm so glad that videos do not exist of that. You know, we were before cell phone cameras, so. Sure, someone caught it on video, but I thankfully have never seen that pop up. Let's talk a little bit more now. I have this glory days segment now where I give you a chance to do some bragging on your best accomplishment before you got to Cal Poly.
Yeah, that's a big question, and it took some thinking. And to be honest, like, sounds cheesy, but it really is true. I think choosing to commit to go to Cal Poly was my big glory day moment. At the time, Cal Poly still had the early decision program. So I got accepted through the early decision program, and, you know, it was really tough. I was considering colleges that a lot of my friends were going to, or, you know, schools to choose to, I mean, be more social, or, you know, not the right reasons to choose a college program. And
yeah,
it took a lot of courage, but I decided to commit to Cal Poly, early decision. I didn't know a soul when I went to Cal Poly for my very first day for orientation or anything. So it was a bit nerve wracking to commit and know no one else going into Cal Poly. But I'm
sure,
looking back, it's definitely the thing I'm most proud of growing up.
Hey, that is so awesome. I love that. And, you know, sometimes you just have to dive in. And I love that you did. Now, did WOW play a factor for you? Was that a like huge thing for you in not knowing anyone? Was WOW one of the things that.
Honestly, SOAR, but before WOW, and then WOW itself, but right. Both of them,
yeah,
like, were incredible programs. And what really stood out about SOAR, they grouped you together with people in your major already. And
yeah.
There were people that I met, SOAR, that we did group projects all the way through the end of graduation together and built those lasting relationships. And WOW, I think what stood out there, I got more connected to people in my dorm, and then just they do such a great job of having you mingle and just meet everybody. And it was just awesome. It's a really disarming experience. Everyone's like, hey, we're all in the same boat. We can all just level set and be friends with one another. So it was awesome.
That is awesome. And I realized that as Tiffany was talking, I picked up my beer can candle. So this is a can.
I love
Tiffany,
that.
Right? And so, but I realized that she's like, oh my God, is he drinking in his eyes?
It's a little happy hour podcast now, but we love it.
That's so funny. I didn't even think about that. And seriously, just smelled it, and like I imagined to you, it looked like I was drinking. But
funny. I got to get myself one of those.
I know. Well, I am kind of second guessing. Like when I bought it, I like thought to myself, I'm like, I'm not sure that's appropriate for me to sit in my office. People are gonna like walk by and think I'm drinking a beer, even though it's a candle. But anyway, so yeah,
it's a good conversation starter.
It is. I guess so. Right. So let's talk a little bit more about that transition to Cal Poly. And, you obviously highlighted it in your glory days, and we just talked about Thor and WOW and all of that, but you know, it is kind of daunting having to declare a major, right? And so
absolutely,
talk to us about that process and how you found the major and all that.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I'm probably quite unique, and I found Cal Poly because I was specifically searching for schools that had top hospitality programs.
Oh, nice.
So I don't know what, early on, I always loved traveling, and I loved visiting hotels and being a guest in them. And yeah. I started to, you know, just, it was really tough at that point, like trying to think about what I wanted to go to college for. And The only thing that excited me was thinking about hospitality programs. So I specifically did my college search for that. And when I found Cal Poly, I was like, this program seems incredible. SLO seemed incredible. And my mom and I went up and did a little weekend stay. And the second we visited the town, I was like, this is such a happy place. Like, I could totally picture my life here.
Yeah.
So our major uniquely is definitely like the thing that helped me identify Cal Poly and go up and take a visit of the school.
Love it. That's so awesome to hear. So now let's talk about your time at Cal Poly. Everyone has those special moments that stand out, or those special friendships, or whatever it might be. You know, I was just telling someone the other day about how in 1993, you know, with the rain was just pouring down and the Tar Heels won the national title in Batman's basketball, and we're all on Franklin Street celebrating, and I'll never forget that moment, you know. But everybody has those times where they look back and whatever it might be. Do you have one of those moments?
Gosh, so many of those moments. I would say it's hard to pick that big of one. I think for me, it's a little bit silly, but even just at the beginning of college too, like going through sorority recruitment, joining my sorority, I think was probably the most memorable experience. And you know, in the beginning, I just wanted to get connected to some friends. And throughout the time, I mean, Midnight specifically, our freshman year, there was a couple of girls who, to this day, we are still best friends and we're bridesmaids in each other's like weddings and whatnot. So I think, honestly, even as early like that first special, like welcoming home to our sorority. And then I think in hindsight, too, like that graduation morning when we're all like getting ready and standing on our balcony together and kind of overlooking like the halfway neighborhood and just recognizing like this is going to be the end of a chapter, but how special it was. And I think that morning was really impactful too.
I bet. That's so awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Makes me smile. Now let's talk about professional development. Obviously, Cal Poly focuses a lot on learn by doing and focuses a lot on trying to, you know, push you to get out there and get involved and that sort of thing. Is there something that you look back on during your time here in San Luis Obispo where you think to yourself, oh, wow, I'm really super glad I did that and that helped propel me into my career? Is there something that stands out?
I was thinking about this one and, you know, there's three things that probably stand out, and I don't want to have to talk about all three, but what I loved so much about our program was just how often we had guest speakers come in that were professionals from the industry, and we would get to connect with them and, you know, just pick their brains and learn about their experiences. And I would always email whoever came in afterward, would follow up with them and, you know, just try to set up informational interviews with them to just build the network and build connections. But one standout moment for me, I was a part of RoFi during my time, and we did a trip up to Dreamforce one of the years, and just getting to travel up and see the tech industry booming in San Francisco and seeing what a magnificent event was going on. It kind of all just pieced together, like just how relevant our degree was and like how useful it was, and getting to be there was super electric. So I think connecting with all the speakers that came in and then joining RoFi and getting to go on some of those trips was really special.
Awesome. I love hearing you say that. You know, I mean, I kind of feel like this podcast is like one big guest speaker, like lots of different guest speakers. It's like my version of guest speakers, you know. So I absolutely love that. And I think that is so valuable. And I think a lot of our faculty are really great at that. I think about Dr. G in particular. She brings in a ton of guest speakers for her classes and whatnot. But I just love also the ethic that you just promoted there, right? It's one thing to listen to a guest speaker. It's another thing to be active and make that guest speaker a potential connection for you. And that's a huge, a huge thing. And I think back to your time and you really stood out as someone who was not afraid to kind of to step out and to make those connections. And that's a great thing. That's such a great thing. And so kudos there. So let's talk about your internship. I know that our current students in particular love hearing your story about how you got it. And everyone has a different story about their internship and whatnot. And I know you did yours at the Cal Poly Parent and Family Programs and the Commencement Office. So tell us about that process.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. My internship was such a special time. I did my internship spring quarter, my last quarter of college, and I wanted to stay in SLO. I wanted to still be on campus if I could. So it was very limited in the options that I could find. So, I knew the person who had that internship the year prior, and I picked their brain on, you know, what they enjoyed from it and any advice they had for me. And they actually put me in touch with who their boss was during that internship. And that's how I landed it. But my gosh, it was so valuable. I think it was just really neat to be able to take a lot of our lessons and put them into practice. So at the time too, we were like months away from spring commencement, which was their huge event of the year. And
of course, yeah.
Learning all the juggling that we had to do those last final months of buttoning things up, but then also how adaptive we were in planning the upcoming commencements in the future quarters and balancing the family programs that we were responsible for too. I think that was my very first glimpse of, hey, you have multiple events, multiple projects. Like, yes, spring commencement is the one and it's the one coming up, but there are six other things we have to keep up with too. So I think it really taught me good like project management and just time management skills.
I bet. That's awesome. So now let's talk about your time post Cal Poly and you know, you landed what I think is an awesome job with an awesome company in Oracle and up in the Bay Area. And so a lot of people have heard of Oracle. But that sort of ushered you into the small thing called the global pandemic. And so, so let's talk pre and during pandemic days with Oracle. What was that like? What was your big takeaway from your Oracle days?
Oh yeah. Wow. My Oracle days are, I cherish them just like I cherish my time at Cal Poly. And I am so grateful. The reason I chose to start my career at Oracle was because I had heard how successful their training program was for new grads. And I was a bit apprehensive about entering the workforce and just, you know, I wanted a little bit more guidance throughout. And I've heard a lot of my peers had such success going through the program. So that's what guided me to Oracle. And, you know, the sales training program was so spectacular. And I think marrying those sales skills with everything we learned in EIM put together such a unique skill set that I get to now have. Pre-pandemic, very traditional, you know, we were in office Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 or 8 to 4, whatever the time was. And, you know, you're at your desks with all your peers and it was electric. We'd all do like call blocks together and it was super fun. I think what was the takeaway was how many people we got to meet. And, you know, it wasn't just Cal Poly grads. It was all universities across the country. And it was just super fun, super electric. The pandemic definitely hit amidst that position. I think I was 2 to 3 years into my position at Oracle when it hit. And, you know, being in a role where you were in office Monday through Friday, you don't work from home. It wasn't a thing. And then all of a sudden you were home 24/7. It was such a big transition for our team. You know, we really had to learn to utilize the tools we had, like Slack, like Zoom, and build connection with the team still, because it, you know, we were in sales. It was very much relationship building and team bonding. So it was just quite a shift. But it was fun.
I bet. And you stuck with Oracle through December of the pandemic, December 2020. Is that right? And then And then shifted to down south. I mean, did you actually physically move down south?
I did. So I think even like before the pandemic, I moved from San Francisco to Santa Monica. Okay. And I just, luckily that was my team sponsor. They were supportive of the move. So I was in Santa Monica when the pandemic hit. I lived.
So tell us about Social Live. So you worked for Social Live. I'm sorry, I've not heard about Social Live.
Until I saw it with you.
But that kind of shifted you into more of the employee experiences. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us.
I'm happy to talk about that transition.
Yeah.
So I loved my experience at Oracle. I loved working in the tech industry. I loved how cutting edge and innovative it was. And I was selling like databases, the core tech, the things on the bottom side. And yeah. I wanted to sell a software that I like resonated with a little bit more. So that's why I found Social Live. They were, they still are a video software company. And, mm-hmm. you know, they specialize in, probably not doing this justice, like creating, just having a tool for businesses to create really engaging content. Right. And, you know, we're in the pandemic. It just seemed to be like the perfect product at the perfect time. So moved into sales there. Naturally, I was in sales. And, you know, throughout the time, they were hiring a lot and very small team. So we didn't really have recruiters. There was our people leader, like one person. And
right.
she tapped our team. And she was like, hey, we're hiring sales reps. I need some help interviewing. Is anybody interested? And I raised my hand. I was like, that sounds exciting. I want to talk to candidates. I want to see what that's about. So I started to help her out with interviews. And I slowly realized, I was like, wow, this is a perfect marriage of everything I've done. It's similar to sales, but now I get to talk to candidates and, you know, just be more people oriented than product oriented. And luckily, she let me move into that role full time. And on top of recruiting, got a look at, I think my title was a people success.
Yeah.
Operations. Yeah.
I love that.
So yeah. Overall people operations. And I got to focus on recruiting. I got to plan like departmental wide events for the teams to meet up in person during the pandemic and bond in real life. So I got to curate those in-person experiences. And it was just, it was such an incredible time. And it was really special.
Yeah. You know, I absolutely love it. And I have to say, Tiffany, and I've said this before with others that I've talked to who have been in on the what used to be the human resources side, right?
Yes.
Which now a lot of people are starting to call employee experiences, right? That
yeah.
involve recruiting and hiring and training and onboarding and all of those sorts mm-hmm. of things. But I love how Social Live has framed it as people success, the people success
yeah.
team, right? And when you think about all the things that our major helps you with, and particularly the experience design, the event planning, all of those things, that comes mm-hmm. into play in your world.
Absolutely.
In a major way. And so... let's now talk about your current role. So you're a senior recruiter,
yeah.
you're a senior recruiter at GoFundMe. And you were telling me also that GoFundMe acquired Klassi, which is another platform, right? And so you sort of work for both, but GoFundMe is the overarching company. So tell us what's your day-to-day like? Explain to us what you do on a daily basis.
Yeah. Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. So I am a senior recruiter with GoFundMe, and we do own a subsidiary called Klassi, which is actually where I started. And now the recruiting team, we get to hire for both companies.
Yeah.
For people who don't know who or what Klassi is, they're a little bit smaller of a brand, but Klassi specializes in nonprofit fundraising technology, where GoFundMe is in that like business to consumer technology. So it's very similar in the mission and the vision, but I recruit for both businesses. I specialize in go-to-market and corporate positions. So I help grow our sales team, our marketing team, our customer success team, people joining our team, legal, finance, anything that's like kind of back office too. But day to day, gosh, who has a typical day to day? But I would say in a perfect world, if I could structure my day to day, I would, you know, there's probably 5 to 6 candidate interviews that I get to talk to on the phone. And then I get to meet with different stakeholders internally and strategize about what their headcount plan looks like for the upcoming year and, you know, where we're going to come in from a hiring perspective and, you know, really help be a resource to our hiring managers across the business, recruiting, talent acquisition. There's so many resources and tidbits in there and it's hard to manage it all. So just being a wealth of resources to all of our hiring managers internally is definitely one of my favorite aspects to the role. So it just consists of a lot of meetings. I get to talk to internal team members, prospective team members, and just chit chat all day.
Love it. It sounds like so much fun. Now tell me this. Are you, we talked earlier that you're in Chicago, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but do you have flexibility? Do you have to report into the office every day? Or are you in some sort of hybrid model? What's that look like?
Yeah. Flexibility is our motto. So GoFundMe we're a hybrid workplace technically, but unlike a lot of organizations, we don't mandate that our employees go to the office on any specific days. And we don't have a certain amount of days we have to hit. So it's very flexible. Our leadership is incredible about giving our team the autonomy to work wherever we're going to be most comfortable and most productive. So today I'm in my home office, but we do have an office in downtown Chicago that I do hop into. I probably go between you and I probably only like twice a month right now. Most of my recruiting team is still based down in San Diego. So when I was in San Diego, I think I went into the office like twice a week. So it was much more frequent. Right. But we do have a hybrid environment and it's the best of both worlds, if you ask me.
Right. I love it. Well, I will say, just so you know, it won't be just between you and I.
Good point. This is going to be public, but that's okay. My boss is listening. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. And, you know, I absolutely, Tiffany, just love that. And, you know, as you were talking, I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, so in a place like Chicago, right, that snows a lot and it's like freezing cold. And like, imagine how many productivity hours that you lose, like trying to like scrape your car or like, you know, bundle up and walk through the like freezing streets of Chicago. I was there once. It was like, it was 20 degrees, but I think with the wind chill, it was like 20 below. And I was like, I cannot imagine doing this every day.
Yeah. I have learned, you know, we get to ignore what the degrees actually are. And you scroll down on the weather app and see what it feels like, because that's what you actually need to dress for.
That's smart. I totally hear you. That's so smart. Although I will say that one of the coldest I've ever been is, I went to the first time I went to San Diego, and I did not look at what it feels like, and I only dressed for 80 degrees, and I was walking to a restaurant and I almost froze to death, because you know how it is in San Diego and here in California, right? I mean, it can be like 80 in the sun, and then you get into the shade and the wind starts blowing and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm freezing.
Oh yeah. You know, living in both, I think I can say now, most people don't let Californians admit to being cold, but it hits the bone different. And the California cold is still pretty cold. And something about the way it just like the wind hits you in California, it's still pretty chilly.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk a little bit about that work-life balance. You know, I think it's really important for us to reflect on this. And you know, I think it's exciting for me to get to talk to you about it, right? Because you're an employee experiences and you know how important it is. But I have found over the years, Tiffany, in talking about this with lots of different people, that those of us who are maybe in positions where we should have great work-life balance, we don't always walk the walk, right? But it sounds like GoFundMe is pretty progressive along those lines. Talk to me about, and you have to sell it every day, right? So talk to me about, give me your sales pitch for why I should go GoFundMe.
Why you should work for GoFundMe is I could go on for another hour. So I'd have to limit myself there. But the work-life balance aspect is incredible. And I think just overall employee wellness benefits at GoFundMe are super strong. In terms of work-life balance, a lot of our teams, you know, we really focus similar to our work setup in terms of being a hybrid office. You know, you focus and work when you need to work and get your things done. If your results are done, your projects are done, you're meeting your deadlines, you're going to be good to go. So I think how I personally, you know, promote work-life balance is I really focus on my mornings and like being my own individual human before I'm a recruiter. And, you know, I go to my gym and I take my dog for a walk and make breakfast. And all of that sounds like the norm, right? But prior to being able to work from home, you have to wake up, get in your car, commute, get to the office on time. Like you didn't have a lot of luxury in your morning before your work day. So I definitely take advantage of that. And then, you know, I think about it as like, not just my days on and days off, but how do I incorporate it into my everyday? And like myself included, I have an hour each day where I put a block and I say, I'm walking. And, you know, I'm not lying and saying, oh, I'm in a meeting. Like I'm promoting, like I'm away from my computer. Okay. I'm outside taking a walk and just taking my time to be a person. And I think those little things where you get to sprinkle in your healthy habits and healthy routines every day are the things to hold on to. Because when I started my career, I thought work-life balance was like, I want every other Friday off. I want to just take an adult spring break for 2 weeks and not work. That's work-life balance. But as I grew, I realized that's not the most attainable approach to work-life balance. And I needed to find a way to incorporate it every day. But from a GoFundMe perspective, you know, we transparently speak to it every day and our benefits are so strong. We get a wellness stipend that can help support our gym memberships or, you know, massages if you wanted, like wherever you could spend that. So awesome. They really promote it too. And even our execs put like, I'm out walking or
nice.
You'll see them take a call. Like they're like, sorry, I'm not on video. I'm taking a walk right now. Take this meeting walking if you can. So it's definitely promoted from the top down too.
I love that. I love that. And, listeners will be happy to hear that, that we actually just voted as a faculty and Dr. Lynn, who is our interim department head right now, approved it. We have our own wellness stipend for the first time. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, college campuses are obviously great places to be. But, you know, when I tell students that we don't get gym memberships, they're like blown away. They're like, what?
Yeah.
Like you don't.
To the rec center?
Yeah. 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 I bet
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never run into a student that wasn't surprised when I told them that. You know, no, it cost us $45 a month. There's like
no way.
Yep. And so it's so great to see these companies like GoFundMe really walking the walk along those lines. And you know, Tiffany, if anything, I do feel like the global pandemic, I'm curious what you think about this. Do you think the global pandemic was positive in terms of pushing us forward in work-life balance and to understanding that there isn't necessarily one model that's the perfect model? Do you think that helped us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you identified it really well where GoFundMe is very progressive in our approach, which I'm super grateful to be a part of. But in general, I think the pandemic taught us you don't have to be in your desk at your chair from 8 to 5 to have productivity. And, you know, even just the data looking at people who aren't commuting, their type of productivity. But I think the biggest shift that I saw in the pandemic between myself and my peers in productivity sensitive is, you know, people wanted to be connected to their jobs. And a lot of people didn't, they decided to move on for their jobs because they realized it wasn't what they were passionate about and they didn't enjoy their work too much. And the pandemic almost scared us straight in a sense. And, you know, like we spend a lot of our time working. We need to find jobs that we believe about or we believe in and we're more passionate about. So I think that shifted in the pandemic too. And a lot of people are more fulfilled with their type of work they do now.
Totally agree. And I think that's amazing. So let's talk about opportunities and challenges. I guess we'll start with the challenges first. And I'll let you, Tiffany, you know, you can approach it in several different ways. You can approach it from employee experiences, or you can approach it from the nonprofit sector. Is there something that you see on the horizon as a pretty big challenge to overcome?
That's a really good question. I won't speak to the nonprofit sector specifically. I don't have my expertise there, unfortunately. A lot of my team members do. From employee experience, or I'll take it as far as candidate experience, I would say a challenge, not even upcoming, current challenge I see a lot of my candidates go through is just the volume of candidates in the market and how competitive it is to find a job, to land a job, to even land an interview, if you will. And I think that has been a continued challenge, unfortunately, since the pandemic and since, you know, the tech world has kind of exploded a little bit. And, you know, I think that has probably continued to be one of the bigger challenges, and navigating that for the next year or 2 years is going to continue to be something everyone works through.
Yeah, that's a really great perspective to share. I appreciate you sharing that because I have heard that from a number of people that it is, you know, I mean, the jobs market is great and is really, it's a really good,
yeah,
a really good economy going right now and a really good jobs outlook. But in the tech sector, it's still really competitive, and it's really competitive.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of sectors. And so that is important to realize. What about opportunities? So if we flip that from a candidate experience or employee experience perspective, which is you know, obviously your expertise here, like what do you see as the biggest opportunities ahead?
Yeah, I think opportunities ahead is just candidates need to get really creative in grabbing attention and differentiating themselves, I would say. So, you know, that too, people are starting to be more in person. There's more networking events on the horizon. You know, university career fairs are back and booming, and they're going to continue to grow in the coming year. So I think it took some time for the recruiting and talent industry to bounce back from being fully remote to being more hybrid in a sense. But you know, I think there's a lot of opportunities for candidates to get creative and show up in a unique way. You know, we have people submit video resumes and talk us through their experience and send us a blog and, you know, just finding ways to stand out and, you know, create your own little message, I think is a really cool opportunity.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I was just, as you were talking, I started thinking like, do you have to deal with AI? Is AI a concern
in
the world? Like, I would imagine that with such a competitive space being the tech industry, right, which is what you're a part of, the larger tech industry, right? I would think that there are people who probably designed bots to apply for lots of positions for them and sort of thing. And some of the cover letters, I bet, are written by AI all of that. So is that a concern? And if so, how are you addressing it?
Yeah, it's definitely a concern. I'd say we get to deal with AI from two perspectives. So from a candidate perspective, we recognize the ChatGPT write this resume or cover letter, you know, something of the sort. And it's pretty clear for our teams to identify when that is the case. And, you know, unfortunately say so, oftentimes those applicants don't make it far into an interview process due to that. So that is a challenge because we'll get excited about a applicant and the experience. And then we realize what's going on, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But some of the exciting things is the systems and tools that we get to use as recruiters that are, that they do have AI built into them. And, you know, some of those examples, you know, we work really closely with our information security team because AI is still so new and, you know, what's approved and what's not. But,
you have to, as an example,
you have to be careful. But some of the positions, you know, I work a lot of our entry level positions. And for one or two hires, we'll have 20,000 plus applicants. And for one recruiter to sift through, you know, that's pretty near impossible. So we have really cool AI tools in place to help us, you know, identify keywords and like pull out certain things from resumes. And, you know, they help us. There's plugins on different websites too. So in the opposite regard, AI has been really beneficial to help with our productivity as talent and recruiting teams.
I bet. And you just like blew my mind when you said 20,000 applicants. It's like, what? Like how?
Yeah, that's what I say. It's competitive. Like it's still very competitive. So
yeah. But I bet it has to be. So let's talk about the rewarding aspects of your job. I didn't really prepare you for this, but I think it's something that we can jump into here as we're moving along in this conversation. I would imagine, like from a perspective of what you just said, 20,000 applicants, I would imagine it's pretty rewarding to get to interact with that person who went through that process and got that position. And is that the case? Is it pretty rewarding from that standpoint?
It is one of my favorite things about the job. You know, getting to meet this candidate early in their interview process, they're pretty nervous, and, you know, be a resource for them, help prep for their interviews, help guide them through the interview process, and, you know, then get to shift and welcome them to the team and then be a friendly face. And I'd say some of the special times are like when we have department events or, you know, company events, and you get to see that person in real life and, you know, make those connections. It's super impressive. But even so, I'll brag about one of my hires. She came in as she applied for a sales development representative role. And she goes, "Hey, I want to interview for the position above that." And I was like, "You know what? I'll give you your shot. You're impressing me." Yeah. We never get to do that. She got the job. Just wrapped up her first year, and she was awarded Rookie of the Year across all of Classy, all of GoFundMe. And knowing that I helped her join the company, it's very fulfilling and very special.
That is awesome. Can we give her a shout out? What's her name?
Oh, yeah. Hannah.
Yeah.
Hannah Quadrano.
How awesome. A shout out to Hannah there. So awesome. Very, very cool. Well, thanks for sharing that, Tiffany. And I know you've got to run, so we'll start to wrap up. My last little segment that I do is related both to this experience design pathway that we went down with experience industry management. It became an umbrella term for us, but what we realized or we didn't realize at first, but we realize now that it sort of opens up the entire corporate space for us, right? Because, and not just corporate space, it opens up the entire workspace for us, I should say, right? Because
100%.
Yeah, everyone's co-creating experiences in some way, shape, or form, right? And so I would imagine that's super important in what you do. Is that right?
Absolutely. Employee experience, candidate experience, all of that is of utmost importance. Yeah.
Yeah. And the way you, I would imagine the way you frame it, that is important as well. And so let's wrap it up with the time travel question. You know, if you could travel back in time to what would that be? 2016, 2017 or so, what advice would you give to junior year Tiffany?
Yeah. Wow. Big time travel there. If I had to travel back, the main advice I would give myself is, you know, just start doing internships and job shadowing more. I think I, you know, did a lot of the initial networking and connecting with people, but taking it into actual tangible experiences is where I would give myself some advice. And even freshman year, Tiffany, I would tell her, use your summers wisely. Like, go get an internship, go job shadow, even. You can take it unpaid, just start to experience real life work environments and start to figure out what you enjoy, what you don't enjoy, what you're missing, what you're craving. And hopefully by that point, you can really strategically identify a strong internship for yourself at the end of your college career here and focus on where you think you want to start your career.
Right. I love it. That is awesome. Well, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time. I know you're super busy. That 20,000 applicants is blowing my mind, but I feel like I should cut it short because I'm worried that I'm going to take up.
No.
You're going to miss your walk with your dog or something, you know?
Not at all. I appreciate it. This is something that I've been looking forward to for weeks. So I'm so grateful you asked me to be a part of it and really happy to get to catch up.
Yes. And me too. And you know, you've been one of my favorites over the years, and just can't thank you enough. And it's so great to reconnect with you, and stay warm and look for those flowers to be blooming and here soon. And the cubbies will be starting here soon.
Yes.
Baseball,
absolutely.
So
opening weekend's 2 weeks away. So I have it counting down and absolutely. But Dr. Rima, it was such a pleasure to catch up and just always fun to relive my Cal Poly days.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. See ya.
All right. We'll see you soon. Bye. Bye.